Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.
Amen.
In these last few Sundays of the liturgical year, as we wrap up year A and get ready for the celebration of Advent, which begins this year, December 3rd, rather late, you have an acceleration of stories and themes around the imagery of the coming of Jesus Christ and our preparation for that coming. And you hear that this morning in essentially all three readings to one degree or another, but certainly in the second and third reading, Paul in Thessalonians, who is already consoling the Christians with the fact that Jesus hasn't come again in their lifetime. And therefore, what are they to expect for future hope and promise? But the real tour de force this morning is in the Gospel. The Gospel reading from Matthew is another one of Matthew's gems. It's a similar passage that he has borrowed from the Gospel of Luke, but expanded it in that way that Matthew loves to do. It is the inspiration, you might want to know, for art and music and hymns. This parable of the virgins or the maidens, five are wise and five are foolish. And Johann Sebastian Bach loved the story and wrote Cantata 140, Sleepers Wake, of which the chorale has entered into almost all hymnals, and we will sing it as the last hymn this morning. So it's a great image. And it's also ironic in the way that God works things out is we had a wedding here yesterday. That's why the pew torches are up and the white flowers there and the white flowers at the high altar were all part of this marvelous wedding that we had yesterday afternoon, which went very smoothly. Therein lies the sermon. Lots of details go into a wedding. Even the simplest kinds of weddings, you still have to plan out who's going to stand where, who's going to hold what, who has the ring, who has the license. How is all of this going to unfold? These folks also had communion, well, a wonderful addition to the ceremony. So we had the Eucharist to fold into the ceremony. And, you know, it's not all about it all going smoothly, but nonetheless, God is in the details, and you do like things to kind of move along with some order and some fluency, and you don't like things to go awry. I've had about 35 years of being the officiant at weddings, and they've all been wonderful for the most part, and they've all gone smoothly for the most part, but my memoir will be entitled Weddings That I Have Survived. I did have a wedding once where we had a considerable delay. And in a kind of a twisting surround, it wasn't the groom who was delayed, it was the bride in this case. Now, in the wedding premarital counseling, which I take very seriously and do a lot of it, we go into all kinds of details and get to know folks and whatnot. What wasn't revealed in the counseling, and maybe it was just as well that she didn't tell me, is that under certain circumstances of stress, she tended to have panic attacks, which is very debilitating. I mean, it's not something people imagine. I mean, it can really happen. So we were at the wedding, which was in a very nice summer chapel on the seacoast of Maine. The hotel was just next door, a large wedding, also with communion, well over 100 guests. I can't believe when it started at 2, or it was supposed to start at 2. And, well, we just didn't get the high sign at the appointed hour. And some member of the party whispered to me, she won't come out of her room. She's having a panic attack. So, what do you do if you're leading a service and there's a delay? You announce that we'll sing a hymn. So we all sung a hymn. Which the second hymn, and the third hymn, and then the fourth hymn, and I'm sending emissaries back and forth, you know, what's going on, no, she's not budging, she's not coming out, she's all upset. And I thought to myself, well, the next next thing you could do is take a collection to augment my fee with what I was thinking of. So it got to be a good half hour in that, you know, we're not there. So I thought, okay, it's time for a modicum of truth. I got up and I said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very sorry to report that the bride is detained, but we expect to be starting momentarily. Which was purely not true. I mean, the bride was detained. The momentarily part, well, what could I say? We're going to be here a while. Somebody better send out for pizza. I mean, you know, I kind of thought we're going to leave this in God's hands and see what happens. So we sat, some people got up and wandered around. Some people were checking their phones for their mail. I noticed there were several folks who were clearly been to many weddings. They pulled books out of their backpacks and pocketbooks to start reading. It got to the point where, yes, the oil candles at the altar had to be refilled. I thought to myself, Matthew's here in spirit this morning. The oil candles that be refilled. Finally, at one point, one of the wedding party came up and said, do you mind if I run out for a cup of coffee? And I said, you can't go because we never know when this is going to start. So we know you can't go out for coffee because you won't be here when we get ready. And finally, from the back of the church, a voice rang out, she's here! And people just out of the woodwork and closets and back rooms and cars and wherever they were kind of leapt back into the church, jumped into their pews. The organ started, here comes the bride. And she came down the aisle, escorted not only by her father, but by her husband-to-be, who himself went to the room and said, darling, it's all going to be fine. It's all going to be fine. Please come. And she did. So we had the wedding over an hour detained, over an hour detained, but nonetheless beautiful in every way. If there's a theme that Matthew wants us to understand, and it is all through his gospel, particularly in these last few chapters, it is this: Lord, open to us and make us. Lord, open us to you. Open to us and make us ready. That is the essence of not only the wedding that I presided at, but the wedding that we hear this morning in the gospel with the bridesmaids. Lord, open to us and make us ready. Some of the bridesmaids were ready and some of them were not. Some of us are ready and some of us. It's repeated over and over again. Because Matthew knew that 99% of the time we are all so busy and distracted with our lives the way that they are that we miss out on how our lives might be if Jesus came now to be with us. Would we be ready or would we not? If God suddenly or even not so suddenly comes to us, are we prepared to receive God? Are our hearts open? Our minds focused? Our imaginations ready to believe that that could possibly happen? It's that tension. We'll be underway momentarily, but I can't tell you exactly when. God will visit us today, the next day, this week. I can't tell you when. But it will happen. Will the lamps of our lives have oil in them? Or will we be burning on, as it were, run-down wicks, which are just about to give out their last bit of light because the hearts and minds, the oil has not filled them up again? Don't we all need more of the fuel that keeps us open and awake? The anticipation of new things and better things and things that God would have us be into, that Holy Spirit will bring to us. Lord, open to us and make us ready to help those in need around us, to believe that our church can make a difference in our community. Lord, open to us and make us ready to recognize Christ in the next person we meet, perhaps for the first time. Lord, open to us and make us ready for new opportunities to know and to love you, even where we least expect to find you. Lord, open to us and make us ready. For we know, somehow, someday, you will come again. Make us always ready, because that time, that day, that hour may be now. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.